Go ahead and get started. Turn it back to Judges. Back to Judges again. When you're preaching out of chapter 11, closing out the chapter there, but I'm going to get you to turn to chapter 17 and chapter 21 to start out here. Let you remain seated tonight. I'm going to turn a couple places. Judges chapter 17, verse number 6. We're going to start there. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Turn to Judges chapter 21. Verse number 25. It's the very last verse of the book of Judges. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The book of Judges closes out with that. Notice it doesn't say every man except for Gideon does that which is right in his own eyes. It doesn't say every man except for Jephthah did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man that which was right in his own eyes. We're gonna look tonight as a mistake, at a failure made by the man we preached on this morning. Even Jephthah can make a mistake. Let's pray one more time. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you already done for us. Lord, thank you for us to be here tonight. Lord, I pray you remove the distractions. Lord, I pray you will be done here. And Lord, I pray you watch over us now in your service. Lord, I pray you give me words to say in Jesus' name. Amen. Back to Judges chapter 11 again. This morning we covered a good deal of the life of Jephthah, at least the portion we're given to read about in the scriptures. We talked about how he was different. He was different than his parents. He was different than his followers. He's different than his nation. He didn't let the peer pressure change his mind on things. He stood for what was right, and God used him to deliver a nation from the enemy. And you probably noticed, I skipped over a couple verses this morning, verse number 30 and verse number 31, and I did that on purpose. Jephthah came from nothing, but God used him. Born to a harlot, yeah, in verse 29, we see the Holy Spirit coming down upon him, and God used him to deliver God's people. We saw the change in him. He's a change from his past to his present. We talked about how you don't have to remain in your sin. You can keep your past in your past and go on and serve God anyway. Amen. Aren't you thankful for forgiveness tonight? Yeah. What about you? I'm thankful for forgiveness. I'm thankful for mercy and grace from the grace of God. I'm thankful for that tonight. But as we will see, you can do something for God and turn right around and do something wrong. Just because you do something right doesn't mean you continue doing right. You can make some big accomplishments for God in God's eyes, big accomplishments in God's eyes on a Sunday and ruin your family on Monday morning. You can get something settled in your heart between you and God. You can nail it down tight and pray, and Lord, I got it. You've nailed it. I got it settled. And turn right around. Next day, doubt it again. We are all still sinners. Don't ever forget that every one of us are still sinners. Just because you're saved by the grace of God doesn't change the fact that you're still a sinner. You're just a saved sinner. It changes the consequences of sin. You don't have to go to hell anymore. But you do, you still sin. And if you aren't careful, get your eyes off of God, and you can mess up and mess up your family and whoever else might go follow along with you. Well, looks like I'm going to preach for just a few minutes tonight. Probably not going to take too long. I'm going to borrow a title from Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. And tonight I titled it, A Pride Before a Fall. Now, many of you, if not all, you've heard this story before of Jephthah. I'm sure you have. I'm sure you read it before. If you have not, you're going to hear it tonight. There are some so-called scholars that don't believe this passage of Scripture actually happened. They try to explain it away and make it say something it doesn't say. No, it's an ugly and disgusting thing that happens. It's a sinful act, but it did happen. And you can believe it. It is the truth. Just because it's nasty and ugly does not mean it's not the truth. The Bible lists it all. The Bible lists the good, the bad, and the ugly. It shows men's victories, but also shows their failures. Is that for a purpose? Jephthah is still a man. The end of the book of Judges still says that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man. I don't think that's a typo. It means everyone, even those judges, did that which was right in their own eyes. At times, God used them, and they were right, and God did things with their lives. And other times, they sinned and messed up and had complete failures of their families. You can trust the Word of God. As soon as you go changing the Word of God, making it say things, it doesn't say you're going to have problems. Problems are going to come from that. It's important to understand the context, I agree. It's important to understand the audience of the chapter that it's speaking to, so you can understand what that chapter means, but you can trust the Word of God. It does not change. The Word of God is truth from cover to cover, front to back. It's all truth. If someone is trying to convince you to believe something is not written in the Word of God, it's heresy. You can trust the Word of God. Even if you don't like to read it, not something you want to hear, you can trust the Word of God. What about you? I'm thankful for that. Thankful I can put faith in that. If you don't get anything else to say tonight, get this. You can write it down, write on your forehead or the Sharpie if you need to. Look in the mirror. The Bible is truth. Every word of it in the Scripture is truth. You can trust the Word of God. So, is this story truth? Well, what is this story? I'm just going to go ahead and read the passage here, and we'll step back and go through it a little bit at a time. Judges chapter 11, verse number 30. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over into the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Aor even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plains of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah into his house. And behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that hath troubled me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. She said, And my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth to the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said to her father, Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity and my fellows. And he said, Go. And he sent her away for 2 months. She with her companions bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of the 2 months that she returned to her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed. And she knew no man, as it was custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. Number one, we'll talk about Jephthah's vow. Look at his vow here. Verse number 30. I just read it. I'm going to read it again. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it for a burnt offering. Now, did God tell Jephthah to make this vow? No. Now, in goodness sakes, no. Jephthah, up out of nowhere, starts to bargain with God. In verse 29, we see four victories God gives to Jephthah. It says, Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead. It's talking about Jephthah. And Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead, he passed over into the children of Ammon. The Spirit of the Lord is already on Jephthah. The Lord has already given him some victories against the enemy. God is already using him. God is already giving the victory over his enemies, one battle at a time. And then out of nowhere, Jephthah says, Okay, God, I'm going to make you a deal. What good is that going to do? There are many folks today who make deals with God. Lord, if you'll give me a raise at work, I'll be faithful to give this amount of money for this amount of time. Lord, if you'll keep me safe and healthy, I'll live every day of my life for you. Don't make promises to God you can't keep. God has not asked you to make him any promises. God has not asked you to bargain with him. The Bible never instructs you to vow a vow to God. It never tells you to make a promise to God. In fact, it actually instructs us to be careful what we do promise to God. This is Ecclesiastes 5:1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou art upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, neither defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before thine angel that it is an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? Ecclesiastes there says, be careful what you promise to God. Don't make a promise you can't keep. Don't make a bargain to God. Don't say dumb things and make yourself sin because of what you promised to God in the first place. Don't make your mouth make your body sin. It says, be not rash with thy mouth. Therefore, let thy words be few. And very wise words we could benefit from. Yet Jephthah out of nowhere says, Lord, I'm going to make a deal with you. You give us the victory, and the first thing that walks out of my house, I'll sacrifice it to you. Not only is he not supposed to be making dumb vows he can't keep, this isn't even the right procedure for making sacrifices. Apparently, Jephthah didn't pay very well attention in the book of Leviticus. We know he knows his Bible history. He proved that in earlier verses. Talked about that this morning. But God never commanded any man to sacrifice anything in his house, not since Abraham. What was Jephthah expecting to come out of his doors of his house? And I don't know what he expected to come through those doors. Some believe that Jephthah didn't actually do this. They say it was just an animal he sacrificed. Okay, well, why was there an animal in his house? How did the animal open the door? And why was the animal bewailing its virginity? There's no animal. It's his daughter. I don't know what Jephthah was expecting to happen here. I believe he originally had good intentions. I believe he had a good heart at the beginning. I believe he was ignorant on this. but he made some mistakes, said some things he should not have said. He wanted peace. He was going to win this victory. I believe he made a mistake, an honest mistake. I believe that. A dumb, rash thing to say, just trying to ensure victory. I believe his heart was right. Be honest here with me. How many of you have said dumb or rash things? Come on now. I've heard some of them, so don't act like you haven't. We all say dumb things. Myself included. I say dumb things all the time. That Natalie will tell you I do. You don't have to tell them right now. Out of ignorance, I believe he made a mistake. This right here should have been the end of it. The story continues on. We see Jephthah's vow. Talked out of his mouth when he should have kept his mouth quiet. Trying to make a deal with God. He didn't need to make the deal. God was already fulfilling the promise. We see his pride. Verse number 34. Jephthah came to Mizpah into his house. And behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances. And she was his only child beside her. He had neither son nor daughter. Came out to praise her father for the victory he won at battle. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low. Thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot go back." He says, "And I cannot go back." I ask you a question here. Who says you can't go back? I understand the seriousness of a vow to God. I just read that in Ecclesiastes. I understand that. I believe Jephthah did as well. I believe that's where he's coming from here. But adding another sin to this sin does not erase the first one. You can't keep lying to get yourself out of a lie. People, we try to do that. That doesn't work. You're just going to end up in a tangled up mess. Jephthah was sorrowful. He knew what he had said was wrong, and now he says, "I cannot go back." No, it should have happened. He should have seen his daughter walk out of the house, and he should have fallen on his face before God and begged God to forgive him of his ignorance and his terrible mistake he made and that stupid vow he made before God he never should have made. He should have admitted his mistake. There is no sacrifice given to Israel. There's no instruction given to Israel for them to kill their children. In fact, that's what their enemies were doing. God told them to kill their enemies. They were sacrificing their children. God does not condone this. God does not want you. God did not want Jephthah to kill his daughter. He don't want that sacrifice. He never asked him for any kind of vow. God did test Abraham. God also made a way of escape for Abraham, gave him a ram in the thicket. That right there was a test of faith. Jephthah, this is no test of faith. It was him opening his mouth when he should have kept his mouth quiet. God never commanded Jephthah to do anything. God never instructed Jephthah to do anything with his vow and his sacrifice. Jephthah made a dumb mistake, and he should have been begging God for forgiveness. God, please don't judge me for this dumb thing I promised you. Not making plans on how to follow through with his first mistake. Instead of admitting right then, "Lord, I was wrong," he makes plans on how am I going to continue on and commit another sin to fix this first sin. I don't know if Jephthah thought he was Abraham. I don't know what was going through his mind at this point, but whatever it was wrong. God never instructed it. You don't fix one mistake, with another sin. It's never going to work out for you. It didn't work out for Jephthah either. I believe this is simply pride. Unwilling to humble himself and say, "Lord, I've messed up. I've made a mistake. I spoke out of turn. I said something I didn't need to say." Yes, you are to keep a vow, but you're not supposed to keep on sinning to fix a sin. It doesn't work that way. You can't break a commandment in order to fulfill a vow. It's not going to work. The only way out of sin is repentance. You can't dig your way out on your own. And this is what Jephthah's trying to do here. Instead of humbling and asking forgiveness, he's trying to right his wrong on his own and follow through with his own dumb vow and follow through with it. He's trying to fix a sin with a sin. It will never work. Think about this story. What if I said, "Lord, if you'll give us the victory here at the church and we do something miraculous here at the church, I'll sacrifice the first thing that comes out of my house." You say, "Well, we don't do sacrifices, preacher." It's not the same thing. They weren't supposed to do sacrifices this way. That's for the high priest to do. Then I don't even want to call names, but if someone walks out of my house and I have to sacrifice them because I vowed that vow and I fulfilled that sacrifice, so I have to sacrifice them. Would you say I was right because I kept my promise to God? Would you say I was dumb and I was a murderer? What's the difference in this passage? I understand it's a different time. But he was not instructed to sin, not instructed to make any kind of promises to God, definitely not instructed to do any kind of sacrifice like this that he's done. But Jephthah's pride killed his daughter. Right after a victory, here comes his failure. Did so much for God, turned his life around. The Lord turned his life around. He does, fulfills his command. Can't untie my tongue. Defeats the army for the people of Israel. God allows him to win the victory there. Comes home, ruins his family. See Jephthah's pride. See Jephthah's failure. Verse number 39. It came to pass at the end of 2 months that he returned to a father who did according to his vow, which he had vowed. and she knew no man. It was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to meet the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in a year. Jephthah had 2 months to think this thing over. 2 months to talk to God about it. 2 months to seek wise counsel about it. 2 months to repent of his arrogance, repent of his big mouth. His daughter comes back, her time of weeping. That's what that wailing, the lamenting. She's weeping, crying over loss and not getting married. He falls through and he sacrifices his daughter. What is this? Jephthah's failure. No other way around it. No other way to say it. He failed. He went from victorious to losing his own family by his own hand. Had the Spirit of the Lord on him. God gave him the victory. He opens his big mouth in his flesh, and now his pride won't let him repent. And now he has to follow through with his own mistakes. He has now murdered his one and only daughter, this false sense of security that he had to fulfill his vow. Killed his daughter instead of repenting to God for this vow he shouldn't have been said in the first place. You might say, well, he had no choice. He made a promise to God. I believe God forgives, but even if not, would you rather deal with the judgment of a broken promise or deal with the judgment of murdering your own child? One sin does not justify another. Jephthah failed. Did something for God, and God used him mightily, turned right around and wrecked his home. What's the point of all this? What is the point of this depressing chapter, depressing story? It's written here for a reason. The reason is because men will fail. We saw with Gideon, every man fails at one point or another. Men, don't ever think you're above it. Ladies, don't ever think you're above it. Don't ever think you're better than that. That it won't happen to you. If Jephthah can do this, who do I think I am? That I can't make a mistake and fail right after a victory. The day you thumb your nose at it and think you're above those things is the day you'll fall in destruction. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Don't ever think you're beyond sin. I can preach today, I can give you my heart, I can turn around tomorrow and get caught up in sin and lose my family. I don't want to do that. I don't plan to. I pray and that never happens. But my flesh is not above that. I'm not beyond sin. I'm not beyond mistakes and failures. And you're not either. This message of the story of Jephthah is this. Get rid of your pride. Chuck your pride. Realize you're nothing but a sinner and you are going to mess up on your own. Realize it and see God's face about it. If you mess up, get it right. If you mess up, repent and get it right. Don't keep digging your own grave with it. Why does the Bible list all these failures of these men? To prove to us they aren't perfect. We're not going to worship them. Worship the Lord. Gideon makes mistakes. We talked about those. Barak, we talked about him being too much of a chicken to go fight the battle until Deborah talked him into it. Samson, we know the mistakes he made. We'll probably get to those later on. We just looked at this. We looked at Jephthah. What about David? He was his sin with Bathsheba. We know about that. He murdered her husband. Look at something with him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 32. Try to end on a positive note here. It's a depressing story. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 32 says this. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to the flight of the armies of aliens, killed their daughter because they made a dumb mistake. No, it's not listed in there. All these men, they made mistakes. Every one of them. They were failures in different times in their life. They failed in certain areas. But yet they're listed here in the hall of faith in Hebrews. Why? Because God forgives sin. I believe Jephthah got it right. I believe he did. Yes, he failed. Yes, he made a huge mistake. He ruined his family. He killed his only heritage. Yet God still forgave him. And he's listed in Hebrews, other men that made mistakes. Men, in and of ourselves, we are sinners. Every one of us are sinners. We're on our way to hell without God and his salvation. The sooner you realize that, the sooner you admit it, and the sooner you seek God's face over it, the better off you're going to be. Every one of us is a sinner. Not one of us is above sin. If these men listed here can make a mistake and fail, who do we think we are to say that we're above it? Pride goeth before the fall. Pride goes before destruction. We all have the chance to do that. We all have that ability to mess up. What are you going to do about it? We all make mistakes. I daily make mistakes. I'm thankful God forgives. Thankful for grace. Thankful for mercy and grace. I don't deserve to be here. Thankful God forgives. Lord, thank you for this day. and you're done for us, Lord. Thank you for your scriptures, Lord. Thank you for the honesty in the Bible, Lord, and the good and the bad, Lord. Thank you for showing that to us. Lord, I pray you watch over us, pray you protect us, and watch over our church. Lord, I pray you keep us from those failures, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.